some pissed off Puerto Rican. Tired of all the bullshit and lies. Started a radio show. Determined to piss the world off. By shoving a mirror in their faces, he kicks them in the balls. This is the Garage Shot Radio Show. And now here's your host, Louis B. Radios. Loudmouth Spick. Happy holidays. Hey, welcome to the Garage Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. We are on an active war on bullshit. We will do anything and everything to expose bullshit. The ends sometimes justify the means. So if you're angry and want the truth exposed, then strap in and prepare to be shocked. This is Smash Mouth Talk Radio. If you can't accept it, then fuck off. I am your host, Louis B. I don't hold my tongue or censor myself. I attack the issues that I don't agree with and drag them into the light, and I will do anything and everything to expose anyone. Today's topic will be no different. We'll be talking about the news. We'll be talking about news. Actually, more specifically, we're going to be talking about the Nigerian man charged with the attempted bombing of Northwest flight from Amsterdam to Netherlands to Detroit, Michigan. That's starting to gain some attention, and some interesting things are starting to happen with that. And we're gonna be giving some of our speculations on what could happen, what might be happening, and yeah. So basically, strap in, shut the fuck up, and listen, or feel free and call in. Actually, better, even better, call in if you want.
Call the Garage Shot Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
That's right. So before we get started, we're gonna have the honorable Reverend X with his song his prayer for good radio. Take it away, Reverend.
In the name of Jesus, repeat it after me, bitch. I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, you know, ruler of heaven and earth and every goddamn thing in between. You understand me now? You trust in the devil, huh? Well, if God send the devil in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, then motherfucker, you fucked up, huh? You fucked up, huh? You know your ass is doomed. What you got to speak? If you don't know shit to speak on this topic I'm bringing up, shut your goddamn ass up. Man, I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. It don't matter how you come with me. Is you down doing what I'm talking about doing? Lawyers, and get this book open. Trained in these words to get the poor, the fatherless, and the widows up out of them penitentiaries. Is you down with that? You ain't down with that? Shut your goddamn ass up.
Amen. So, over the weekend, reports started coming out from Detroit, Michigan, of an attempted Nigerian man from trying to blow up a plane as it was landing in Detroit. It was coming from Amsterdam. Apparently the Nigerians are tired of sending emails and us just hitting the spam button on their emails. No, I'm just kidding. But what happened was, I'm trying to get the notes here. Passenger. On Christmas Day, Umar Farouk Abdulmutab. I don't freaking care. You know, these. Seriously, if you're gonna be Muslim, can you like really like spell your name phonetically for everybody? Thank you very much. He allegedly attempted to trigger an explosion on flight 253 from Amsterdam using chemicals hidden under his clothing as it approached Detroit on Christmas Day. He was restrained by passengers and flight crew before he could set it off, but he ended up burning his own ass. So, but the strange thing with that is, I really should have did more show prep. But a Michigan man who was aboard Northwest Airlines Flight 253 says he witnessed Umar trying to board the plane in Amsterdam without a passport. Kurt Haskell of Newport, Michigan, who posted an earlier comment about his experience, talked exclusively with MLive.com and confirmed he was on the flight by sending a picture of his boarding pass. He and his wife Lori were returning from a safari in Uganda when they boarded the NWA flight on Friday, which is Northwest Airlines for you illiterate bastards. Haskell said he and his wife were sitting on the ground near the boarding gate in Afghanistan, which is when they saw Mutalib, or Umar, approach the gate with an unidentified man. Kurt and Lori Haskell are attorneys with Haskell Law Firm in Taylor, which, apparently Taylor, Michigan. Their expertise includes bankruptcy, family law, and estate planning. While Mutalib was poorly dressed, Umar, the supposed bomber, was poorly dressed, his friend was dressed in an expensive suit, Haskell said. He says the suited man asked the ticket agents whether Umar could board without a passport. The guy said he's from Sudan and we do this all the time. Umar is Nigerian. Haskell believes that the man may have been trying to garner sympathy for Umar's lack of documents by portraying him as a Sudanese refugee. The ticket agent referred to Umar and his companion to her manager down the hall. Haskell didn't see Umar again until he allegedly tried to detonate an explosive on the plane. So, okay. So we got witness testimony. And the guy proves that he was on there. He has a ticket there. Saying that a well-dressed man helped this dude who in raggedy-ass clothes trying to get on a plane without a passport. You know damn well this is going to affect us here on what... You know, this is probably gonna end up affecting us here. Meaning, we're probably gonna have to get butt-ass naked, frisked. Everyone's gonna get frisked, and even though it happened over there, because you know what? Hey, long story short, airline security is kind of laxed in other countries. Yet we're the ones who're gonna be paid for it. So. So yeah, we got Kev. He's like, that's all a bunch of BS. Raise the terror alert, but not going to stop a terrorist from striking. Yeah, no, it's this is just gonna end up screwing us over even worse here. Back to the article. Haskell said the flight was mostly unremarkable. That was until he heard a flight attendant say she smelled smoke just after the pilot announced the plane would land in Detroit in 10 minutes. Haskell got out of his seat to view the brewing commotion. I stood up and walked a couple feet ahead to get a closer look, and that's when I saw the flames, said Haskell, who sat about 7 rows behind Umar. It started to spread pretty quickly. It went up the wall all the way to the ceiling. Talking about the flames... Haskell, who described Umar as a diminutive, skinny bastard who looks like a teenager, said about 30 seconds passed between the first mention of smoke and when Mutalib was subdued by fellow passengers. He didn't fight back at all. This wasn't a big skirmish. Yeah, of course, because basically he was a damn microphone stand, a skinny ass microphone stand with a head on it. There was not much he would have been able to do. A couple guys jumped him and hauled him away. The ordeal has Haskell and his wife a little shaken. Flight attendants were screaming during the fire, and the pilot sounded notably nervous while bringing the plane in for a landing, he said. Yeah, no shit. I'm tired of these motherfucking terrorists on these motherfucking planes. Fucking Nigerians on a plane starring Samuel L. Jackson coming 2010. It's gonna be hilarious. You know, it's gonna be the movie of the week. Watch, they're gonna have these two people, two lawyers on the plane, and they're gonna be like, I smell smoke, and be a well dressed dude and a Nigerian. He's like, oh yes, we're going to blow up the plane. So, I mean, this is just, it really is, it's just all fucking ridiculous. He did, immediately the pilot came on and said two words, "Emergency landing," Haskell said, and that was it. The plane sped up instead of slowing down. You could tell he floored it. As Umar was being led out of the plane in handcuffs, Haskell said he realized that was the same man he saw trying to board the plane in Amsterdam. Passengers had to wait about 20 minutes before they were allowed to exit the plane. Haskell said... Haskell said... He and other passengers waited about 6 hours to be interviewed by the FBI. About an hour after landing, Haskell said he saw another man being taken into custody. But a spokesperson from the FBI in Detroit said Motalib was the only person taken into custody. We got this other article from ABC News, Christmas Bomber False Flag. So this is, man attempts to set off explosive on Detroit airplane. Federal officials and police are interviewing a Nigerian man who allegedly tried to explode a powdery substance aboard a Northwest flight from Amsterdam to Detroit, injuring himself and two other passengers. Law enforcement officials said the man said he was directed by Al-Qaeda to explode a small device in flight over U.S. soil. Al-Qaeda, you mean? Al-Qaeda, which... this is the thing that freaking bugs the fuck out of me. Al-Qaeda, which actually asked a Muslim person, what does that mean? It means toilet. The toilet. Or the base. Or the database. But more, it could mean the toilet. A badass terrorist group named the Toilet. Alright, yeah, that's cool. To explode a small device in flight over U.S. soil, ABC News has learned authorities have no corroboration of that information and that credibility of the suspect's statements are being questioned, officials said. The suspect was identified as Abdul Farouk Abdul? Damn. Okay. So there's Umar and this fucking Abdul. Abdul Farouk Abdullah. I don't even know how to fucking pronounce his last name. 23, who according to federal documents is an engineering student at the University College of London. Yeah, we actually have an article conflicting with that reporting that he was a student. That he has documents as a university student of London. So, yeah, check that. Check that out. He was flying from Nigeria to the United States for a religious seminar. Bullshit. According to his entry visa. Oh, so wait a minute. How the hell does he not have paper? How the hell was he able to get on without no papers, yet they friggin' found a visa on him? He had no passport but a visa. How can you have a visa without a passport? Which was issued June 16th, 2008 and was good until June 12th, 2010. The government had made no immediate plans after the incident to raise a threat level. A federal government source said the threat level has been at orange since 2006. The suspect has been in a law enforcement intelligence database but was not on the government's no-fly list according to the law enforcement official. Alrighty, we're gonna, let's see what we got here. Again, I have conflicting news reportings, which seems to always happen with things like this. There's always conflicting news reports. Christmas Day bomber was on UK watch list, American Free Press. The Nigerian man charged with trying to blow up a U.S. airliner had been placed on the UK watch list and barred from entering Britain earlier this year. Home Secretary Alan Johnson said on Monday, speaking on BBC Radio 4's Today program, Johnson confirmed 23-year-old Umar, again, the fucking name, Abdul Umar, I'm getting both of them, Abdullah and Umar. Let's keep it Umar, but you know his name could also be Abdul. Umar Farouk Abdabab, I can't fucking pronounce that name. I'm just gonna have been placed on a watch list in May after applying for a visa to study at a bogus college. Huh. Yeah, we got the G-Man in the chat room. What's up, G-Man? It's like oh, it's conflicting reports, but we're gonna shift through the shit. We're shifting through shit pretty much. Umar, who has been charged with trying to blow up a Northwest Airlines plane over Detroit on Christmas Day, had previously been living in London between 2005 and 2008 on a student visa while reading mechanical engineering. Okay, while reading mechanical engineering at University College London. He was a legitimate UK student on a legitimate student visa. He hasn't been in this country for 14 months, he told the program. In May, he made an application for a first student visa, which was refused. Okay, fine. That part of the reporting is spot on. I guess we got so as soon as that happened, he was on our watch list. If someone refused a visa, they automatically go on our UK watch list, Johnson said. If you are our watch list, then you do not come into this country. You can come through this country if you are in transit to another country, but you can't come into this country. Police and MI5 officials were looking into a number of issues, including whether he had been radicalized while studying at UCL, Johnson said, or University College London, what happened when he was in this country. Was he radicalized in this country? Was there any association, or was he like turned into a terrorist here, basically? Was there any association with whoever may have been behind this plot? We do not know yet whether it was a single-handed plot or if there were other people behind it. I suspect the latter rather than the former. Of course, as I read before the article witness testimony of Umar getting help from some well-dressed man and trying to basically lie their way on the plane because Umar didn't have a passport, according to Kurt Haskell. So Kurt Haskell of Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, where this guy was on the plane where Umar was allegedly trying to blow up. So we got. That's weird. Okay, let me get back to the article here. We do not know yet whether, okay, all information regarding people on the UK watch list was routinely shared with the US authorities. And Johnson said he would be very surprised if there had been any hiccup in procedures. Washington has said Umar, or Atalabababub, was added to the watch list of some 550,000 names last month after his father warned U.S. officials in Abuja about his son's increasing radicalism. But he was not added to the no-fly list, meaning he was able to secure a valid U.S. visa with which he flew from Lagos to Amsterdam, then to Detroit on Christmas Day. It's just, alrighty. It's just weird. All this shit is just weird. Of course, there's more shit happening. Of course, we go. According to the feds, the suspect says that the explosive device he used was acquired in Yemen. Increasingly, Anwar al-Awlaki ran away to Yemen. He was an extreme Islamic preacher and likely U.S. intelligence handler who had connections to 9/11 hijackers, 7/7 bombers, Fort Dix terrorist plotters, Toronto 18 terrorist plotters, and Fort Hood shooter. Al-Awlaki is said to have been killed in a recent raid by the Yemeni security forces, but it is very possible that his role as handler was becoming too obvious and that his death was really just a retirement. It is possible that Al-Awlaki provided this new terrorist with explosives. Another issue is the FBI's presence at the airport when the plane landed. Federal Bureau of Investigations Special Agent Sandra R. Bertrand from Detroit office confirmed that the FBI was at the airport, but she was not commented that she would not comment any further. Over here in this, we got the article here. Well, I already read that article. So, it's, goodness. I mean, and I, look, I actually went to get a bagel, and on the TV they had CNN going on. Yeah, okay, the G-Man was like, does it really shock you? It will be, it'll be downplayed. Nobody wants to say the training is going on in the mosque in the USA. Well, of course, well, no, they're saying, well, whether he was radicalized here. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, is this real terrorism or not, though? Because, I mean, if this is a lone nut, but it's starting to look like it wasn't a lone nut. It's like, okay, well, got the G-Man. G-Man, call in. Call in, dude. Because, yeah. Here, check it out.
Call the Crotch Shot Radio Show now at 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980.
Yeah, well, I'll stop the commercials. I'm going to go into commercials. I'll stop it as soon as you call in. Or if you plan on calling in. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, kicking the issues in the balls.
This segment of the Crotch Shot Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union-made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchshotradioshow.com and click the top banner. That is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotch Shot Radio Show sent you.
Would you consider that torture?
Absolutely torture.
You do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This holiday season, instead of thinking of which fucking iPod to buy and rushing to stores and crushing Walmart employees, here's something to think about. Read from the Citizens Rulebook, a summary of the Communist Manifesto. Communist Manifesto represents a misguided philosophy which teaches the citizens to give up their rights for the sake of the common good. But it always ends in a police state. This is called preventative justice. Control is the key concept. These are 10 points to look out. Abolition of private property. Heavy progressive income tax. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. Confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels. A central bank. Government control of communications and transportation. Government ownership of factories and agriculture. Government control of labor. Corporate farms. Regional planning. Government control of education. Can anyone see this happening now? In the United States. In the Constitutional Republic of the United States. Something to think about. Happy holidays from the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
When you visit the Crotch Shot Radio Show website, please make it a habit to click on two or three of the small Google ads.
Google pays Crotch Shot Radio a few cents per click-through. We know that Google is a mainstream outlet, but we are using their tools in order to spread the truth. Please visit CrotchShotRadio.com every day.
Are you tired of all the bullshit in the world? The time for political correctness is over. Listen to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, hosted by Louis B. with Benny Carnero and Enemy Combatant, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern on CrotchShotRadio.com.
Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood.
Okay.
Some of the benefits of Delivery.com.
Alrighty, we're right back. I'm getting a call right now. G-Man, how you doing? Welcome to the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Good evening.
Good evening. What are your thoughts on this alleged bomber?
Yeah, it's terrorism no matter how you look at it. Even if he was on his own, he had his... had his motives and he had his reasons to do it. You know, if he's doing it in the name of Allah, if he's not backed by anybody, still, it's an act of terrorism.
So you don't think this is like an inside job sort of thing, like just trying to scare us? I mean, he wasn't successful.
No, he was definitely trying to do what he wanted to do. He just just wasn't meant to be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was definitely. There's no doubt that the man was trying to blow up the plane, and he had a reason to do it. I mean, he carried it on there. He got it in there somehow.
I can't forget Richard Reed, the attempted shoe bomber as well.
Well,
it seems like every time they try this, they fail. Or I mean, it's just. You know, and then after they fail, they like increase the
security
for us here in the U.S.
Right.
And a lot of times these people are coming from outside of the country.
Well, that's because of our relaxed laws on immigration in this country. That's
yeah.
where it all stems from, you know. Because of this politically correct world in which we live in, they're so worried about what the world's going to say about us restricting the flow of people in and out of this country. You know, everybody wears their feelings on their shirt sleeve, and every time the wind blows, they get offended. You know, it's only our country's fault.
Yes, I'm sorry. Hello?
Hey, I'm still there. Go ahead.
Yes, I keep getting interrupted here. So, again, I mean, it's, but the thing is, this guy didn't have a passport. I mean, can you be on a plane without a passport and still have a visa?
That I wouldn't know. That's...
Apparently
he knew the system and he knew how to get around it. I don't think it's just a random act of terrorism. I mean, the man knew exactly what he needed to do to get on that plane.
Well, the thing is, we have there's like a witness testimony from. I mean, and this is not a conspiracy theorist website. Metro Detroit Live from a man named Kurt Haskell, who he actually sent them a picture of his boarding pass from Northwest Airlines. Proving that he was on the plane that this guy attempted to blow up, and the guy says he had help getting on the plane.
Well, I guess that answers your question. Was it an act of terrorism or not?
Yeah, but it, you know, a well-dressed guy in a suit.
Well, the guys that that took down the Twin Towers in the planes too were well-dressed and groomed and. Every, you know, everyday common guy living next door to you, going to work every day, and, you know, when they're ready to go, they're ready to go.
Well, so you don't subscribe to the inside job theory?
Well, I don't know. I've done a lot of study and research on it. I can agree. I can see, you know, I can see definitely what everybody has to say about that. You know, I personally, it's, you know, it is a hard thing to believe that two buildings that big can go straight down that fast, that quick, you know.
I don't try to defend the science behind it because I'm not a scientist.
Right.
You know, I'm not a physicist of any kind. I don't understand physics. And I sure as hell I'm not going to parrot Loose Change or anybody else because I don't know. I mean, what I do try to work on is common sense.
Yeah.
And common sense when it comes to, like, the reportings the recent reportings. And what I really see is... It was a combination of different countries. Different countries had a hand in it. But, of course, there are a criminal element within this country that allowed it to happen. I'm not saying the whole government. In fact, if it was the whole government, I mean, it's not realistic for the whole government to be involved because you know somebody would have tried to stop it.
Yeah.
But of course, there are some black ops or criminal elements within our government that have positions... That would allow people to, like, not do their job. Hold on, we got another call from New Jersey. New Jersey! Okay, wait, let me see, he's probably gonna get X'd out again. There, I gotta clear him again. Jersey!
What's going on, man?
How you doing, my co-host, Enemy Combatant? What are your thoughts on, this Richard Reed, this Richard Reed copycat?
You mean the underwear bomber?
The underwear bomber, yes.
Well, all I know is that the headlines are telling us that he was escorted by someone in a very fancy suit, and then he went into mass hysteria once aboard the plane. So to me, it smells like a classic setup.
See, that's exactly what I was thinking, too. I mean,
it's always the same thing over and over again. I mean... Even without doing much research into it, you could imagine that it probably was set up because it's always the same thing. It's always some drugged out, crazy, drooling, complete half-wit.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm getting from NewWorldOrderReport.com, Jonathan Elinoff's thing. He comes, how can Al-Qaeda of Yemen get their hands on military explosives is anyone's guess. Personally, I would assert that Al-Qaeda of Yemen is a little bit more than an extension of the military and intelligence services, CIA. Interesting, it turns out that the bomber is the son of a wealthy banker.
Yeah, who warned people that his son might do such a thing.
Yeah.
So that's another classic example of how they knew it was going to happen, but they let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's always the same story.
Yeah, I mean, and here's some of the questions that are raised. Maybe one of you guys could take a crack at this. Why did different news services provide different names for the suspect? See, actually, look, boom. Umar and Abdul. I was having that same trouble. If people heard in the beginning as I was reading the articles, one article called him, his first name Umar, and the next one was Abdul.
Yeah, it could be just to be the first to get the news out. I mean, you know, sometimes you hear these reports about, let's say, take for instance, a tsunami or whatever, and you listen to one report, they claim X amount was killed, the next one will be escalated, and, you know, you'll get variances in it. Everybody wants to be the one to glorify it, to get their, you know, get their report in first. So, it could be an error in the... in the reporting itself, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to happen. I mean,
well, let me throw a question at you then.
Okay.
If you don't mind, this is your show, I know, but, you know, why does Homeland Security consider me a terrorist due to the fact that I'm a former veteran because of me being in the military and because of the training I've had? I'm considered by Homeland Security to be a threat to this country of ours. And that's right out of the words of their own mouth on national television.
Exactly. I mean,
I serve my country. I come from a military family. Mm-hmm. I served this country, and my father served, and my brothers, but we're all considered a terrorist. Our government is threatened by the people who serve them. You know, and they'll look more at me than they will somebody coming in on a school visa.
Exactly. I tell you the truth. I don't have an answer. I just say it's fucking disgusting. I mean, you know, I mean, first I would like to say, you know, thank you and your family for serving this country and protecting our freedoms. Let me just say that. And you guys do deserve more respect if you're going to put your asses out on the line.
You know, it rubs me raw to think that my government, and especially my president, well, I don't consider him my president, but...
neither do I.
Neither do I consider that our government, because it's really not our government.
No, it's not our government. It's totalitarianism.
Yeah, we call him Nigga Charlie over here on the show.
Yeah, well, I can't understand it. You know, they want to scrutinize me. I live here in this country. I work every day. I pay my taxes. I do my part, and yet I'm a threat. I'm a threat to the national security, and not.
I'll say this much, guys. I got to let you go because my lunch is about to expire. But basically, everything is Al Qaeda. You know, every single incident that's out there, they just say, "Oh, it's a terrorist. Be afraid. Give up your rights." So the pattern is clear. Whether this is real or not, they're going to use it as the ultimate excuse for all their tyranny. So
always do.
It's a huge distraction. We got to focus on, you know, their lies about the war, the bigger picture, because they're caught red-handed all over the place. You know, with the health bill and all the other stuff going on. We got to keep hammering away and being on the offensive and stop responding and reacting to all this garbage that they're trying to set up for us.
Good thought.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So let me let you guys go. I'll be popping in later on.
All right, cool. That's enemy combatant. He's from Jersey City. He does a lot of anti-war, you know, protesting, you know, educating people on about Obama, on how he's not what he claims to, who he claims to be. What do you think about the war drums for Yemen now?
What, and get taxed more?
Well, pretty much. I mean, it looks like I was just watching CNN before I started the show, and they're already saying, "Oh, well, we're probably gonna end up having to go into Yemen. Yemen's always been a threat. Yemen,
we don't have it. It's not there for us to go. It's not gonna happen. I don't think. You know. My theory is back when Gerald Ford. I believe it was Gerald Ford, when he was president, signed the bill that we could no longer assassinate. You know, I believe you cut the head off the snake and the snake dies, you know. And if anybody wants to step in and take the place of that person, then you pretty much, you know, have sent a message. You know, we don't have to spend billions of dollars. I mean, we got technology. We know right where they're at. Let's just go straight to the source and be done with it, you know. This country needs to get back to the old ways of the Roman Empire, you know. When you mess with a Roman or a garrison or anything, be it in whatever country, if you raised up against them, be a Roman citizen or a soldier, Caesar didn't play. Caesar just came in and pillaged and plundered and burnt and destroyed it, and it was over with. And they went back to Rome, and they never had to worry about the person again, just playing around these little war games they want to play. If you're going to go in there and do it right. Mm. You know?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they always position Osama bin Laden as, like, the boogeyman. But, I mean, I believe that, Benazir Bhutto, before she was assassinated, went on CNN and said, he's been dead for 4 years.
Yeah,
and it makes sense, because how is a 6 foot Arab? How can you not find a 6 foot Arab on dialysis?
In Saudi Arabia.
Oh, you think
if he's alive, that's where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, we actually posted a report that part of the Bin Laden family is living in Iran.
Well, you got to figure one thing. Listen,
yeah,
that whole Middle East. They might war amongst themselves, but when it comes to people like the U.S. or Britain or whatever, even though they're warring amongst themselves, they're all going to turn on us, and they'll all cover each other. They'll all be in the mix. You know, no one ever talks about Syria, but Syria is one of the biggest players in this whole mess, mm-hmm. And they got a seat in the United Nations now. So here we go again. You know.
Well, I mean, I'm here in New York City, and it was kind of funny when they were doing, when the UN had a huge meeting. All of our enemies came and started talking shit.
Yeah.
And we allow it to happen. I'm like, okay, we have Muammar Gaddafi basically saying that he was Obama's dad.
That's because he smokes too much hash.
I was like, what? And then we have Chavez saying, oh yeah, we love him, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Yeah, you want the communist saying that, oh yeah, your president is a step in the right direction.
Of course he is.
Yeah. It was like, what the hell, what is this, political despot day at the UN? I was like, oh, okay, you get to talk all the shit that you want. Muammar Gaddafi doing, like, what, a 1 week speech?
Well, it's no different than letting the president of Iran come over here and speak in the universities.
Yeah, no,
and then give him a tour of Ground Zero.
It'd be like giving Hitler a tour of the Holocaust Museum.
Yeah, just
like, hey, look. I mean, I'm not saying Iran had a hand in 9/11. I don't know. I mean, I really do believe that it needed more investigation before we started going into war. At the very least, I mean, I'm not a pacifist. If I get hit, I'm knocking somebody the fuck out. But at least I know who hit me before I fucking start swinging, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're not wanting to end this war. I mean, if they wanted to end it, they could have done it a long time ago. You know, they went into Afghanistan and started blowing the tops off the mountains and just blistering them. And you don't change horses in the middle of a stream. You don't cut your troops in half, mm-hmm. send them to Iraq, and expect to finish the war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ludicrous, but see...
Well, I agree with you, because I actually read an article that the Taliban control 80% of Afghanistan because the troops retreated, U.S. troops retreated, and now they have all these nicely built bases for them to chill.
Yep. But they're all in it together. All them countries will look out for each other. Even though they might have their own personal conflicts, they're going to take care of each other. I mean, the bottom line is that they can slip in and out of Pakistan, and they can, you know, slip in and out of Iran. And some, you know, I don't understand why they can't stop the flow of arms in. They know where the arms are coming from. They know where the munitions are coming from. But yet there's no stop. They have no plan, or they don't care to go and sever those supply lines. You know, I think sometimes it feels like to me that they want to keep this war ramped up.
Well,
have
of
a reason
course,
to
I mean,
stay there.
Exactly, because I mean, you remember what McCain said, you know, this war might last 100 years.
Yeah.
And I don't see, first of all, I don't see how this war is going to, you know, it can last another 10. We don't have the money for it, and pretty soon we're probably not even going to have the manpower for it.
Yeah, well, you know, when you don't go in with a plan, you know, sometimes war is inevitable. You know, you need to pick and choose your battles. There's a greater picture to this whole thing. You know, we're tiny fish in a great big sea. Basically, all we are is the servants and the funding for this government. You know, they figure that they can ride off the backs of the working man, and they'll just squeeze and bleed us down. And you know, but see, they play and live by a totally different set of rules than we do. So, you know, it's going to keep going this way until the people get a gutful of it and do what they need to do and, you know, put the government back in the hands of the people.
Right. I mean, but, like, the thing is, when you say stuff like that, it makes me think, okay, are these guys really terrorists? I have to always question, are there real terrorists?
Oh, sure, there is.
Anymore.
Yeah, sure, there is. I mean, you look at the guys that lost, got their heads cut off over there at the beginning of the war and stuff. You know, they're real.
Right.
But do you pick and choose who you want to let do their thing in order for you to push your agenda through? You know? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, when does a person go from trying to get an invading country to leave their country and then become a terrorist?
Yeah.
I mean, like, look, I mean, let's say we were invaded by Iraq or invaded by another country, wouldn't some of us take it up to the umpteenth level and start doing some animalistic shit to scare the other countries so that they get the hell out?
Probably, I mean, would, but then you know. Yeah.
I mean, when do you start calling someone a terrorist? Then, where's the line?
Well, there we go. Fall back to the question I'd asked you earlier about, you know, the veterans of this country and those who serve in the uniform. You know, where do you draw the line?
Yeah, I mean, if you got like it's totally absurd to call veterans. I mean, if you mind me asking, what war did you fight?
Well, actually, I served just before Desert Storm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, I was, believe it or not, I was overseas at the time on a classified TDY when they bombed the barracks in Beirut. And they woke us up and crated up our weapons and packed our bags and told us to get ready that we were headed into Beirut. And at the last minute, they backed down the orders and United Nations troops went in. So, you know, I was close there, and then I was close also being sent into South America during the Contra, you know, escapades down there. So two times I've avoided it, but, you know, because of my training, you know, they told me to get myself, you know, ready to go. So, you know.
So what do you think about Ollie North when it came to that whole Contra thing?
I believe Ollie North is an honest man, but yet he was also part of the system, and I think he was the scapegoat for the whole thing to divert the attention away from the real players in the game. You know, I believe he knew some, but I don't think he knew everything. But that was all a mess.
Yeah, I mean that's part of the reason why we got so much drugs in the country, though, because because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, the almighty dollar. It all boils down to greed and power.
I see. So, oh goodness. So, trying to find more,
Well, you know, you gotta question things sometimes, especially in today's world. Everything's a whirlwind. You get so many stories and, you know, they try to cover it up and then things get, you know, leaked out, new information comes out, and there's always controversy in these things. You know, you got so many people pointing fingers and trying to cover, you know, you can only sweep so much dirt under the carpet before it starts to make a mound, you know?
Exactly.
So,
exactly. You know, that's exactly. I mean, what would you do? I mean, how would you, what do you think is the proper action when it comes to this? Should we invade Yemen?
No, because I think, you know, right off the bat, I think we need to lock up our country. We need to lock the borders down. We need to shut down to a trickle the people that are allowed to come in this country, because national security for America is number one.
Right.
The bottom line, we need to protect our home base first. And, you know, we need to quit trying to stomp out so many fires around this world. You know, people hate us until they need us.
Exactly. I mean, this is why I actually made this point of, like, if I was the president, I would be a domestic president. I would start saying, oh, you don't want us in your country? All right, we're going to leave your country, but we're taking our aid with us.
Exactly.
And, you know, you could pretty much go screw.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what I say. Lock our borders down, north and south. passports and visas, people coming in, comes to a trickle. You better have a very good reason to enter this country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to the point now to where interstate travel from state to state is going to become a thing, to where you better have reason to leave your state to go to another state. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that a little bit unconstitutional, though, to restrict travel within the state?
It was
within the country.
It was until they passed the Patriot Act.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why they can do the legal. They can wiretap anybody, do it, surveillance anybody. This is nothing but a really defined new version of the KGB. I mean, we took what Russia tried to accomplish, and we've just really defined it and almost perfected it, you know. Everywhere you look, you got a camera watching you, you know. It's just, it's ridiculous. But I believe we have to have security in this country, but let's lock the borders up. Let's shut these people coming down. Let's go.
Yeah, why is it so hard to shut the borders down, though? Why don't they want to do it? If they could pretty much get National Guardsmen there to do the job if Border Patrol it can't do it.
Well, let's take, for instance, you know, not even the National Guard. You've got over there in Korea, you've got the DMZ, and we've got so many troops over there guarding that DMZ. Well, the South Koreans have got a pretty substantial army. They can guard their own DMZ.
Yeah.
You know, we could bring them boys home, and we could use them on the border. You know,
mm-hmm.
Build the wall and lock this country up and start shutting down these people coming in here on these visas. You know, for school and visa. You know, business, whatever they're doing, you know, and let people come in here to work without citizenship. I mean, we got to start thinking about our own country first. We got to, you know, we got to get off this mindset that America's a proud country and we're sorry for being proud. And we don't need a president going around apologizing for this country and bowing down and kissing the hands and making himself subservient, you know.
Yeah.
That's another thing that you know, that sends a message everywhere.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I mean, how the hell you bowed to the son of the guy that ordered Pearl Harbor? Okay, yeah, thanks, Barack.
Well,
thank you, yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, I'm a firm believer in borders, language, and culture. You know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I'm a Puerto Rican. I, you know,
yeah, but
raised here.
Did you earn your citizenship?
Oh no, I was born a citizen.
Okay,
I mean, Puerto Rico is a Commonwealth.
Exactly.
So I mean, that's the thing. I mean, most Americans try to lump us in with the Mexicans.
I don't.
Oh, you're taking our jobs. You're taking our jobs. I'm like, dude, we're already Americans. They're taking our jobs too.
Well, listen, I've seen it firsthand myself.
I could tell you firsthand that he's like even Mexicans that come in here legally disrespect this country and disrespect people, and they think they're entitled to everything. And this is because I understand Spanish, I speak Spanish, and I hear what they say.
Yeah.
They do want to kill Whitey.
Oh, I know they do. That's why there's so many. That's why there's an increase in crime, and that's another thing that doesn't want to be discussed. And look how many Mexican gang mafia members that you got here in the United States. You need to come down here to Florida and see what we got cooking down here.
Oh, trust me, you don't want me there, because I get really annoyed with Mexicans, like, really quick.
Oh, we got some, they're bringing them in by the busloads, and I'm not lying. I've watched these buses come in all the time where I live, and watch them get out of the buses with their luggage, and can't speak a word of English, don't have citizenship, don't have nothing, and what it is the government's paying for them. They're picking them up, they're bringing them in, and they're bussing them all over the U.S. They're setting up these living quarter camps for them. They've got them right here where I live, and putting them in, and they're putting them in business, setting them up, giving them tax-free write-offs, and you know, let me go down and try to get a business loan and see what they say to me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get the same problem. I mean, I pay my own health insurance.
Yeah.
Even if my finger was, you know, falling off the bone, I had, like, do you have insurance? No. Oh, well, here's a piece of tape. Get the fuck out.
Well, yeah.
Of course, if I went in and I had to be like, you know, oh, let me, you know, I have to like put it, do the whole song and dance.
Exactly.
Basically, and then they'll let me. I mean, you know, unfortunately, I had to use that card sometimes.
And there again, we want to talk about the terrorism. You know, where I've read several articles to where now that the Al Qaeda. Are streaming up through Mexico. You know, they're cutting their hair and their beards, and they're blending in, and they're coming right in, just walking right across the border, wide open. How many sleeper cells now are here in America? We have no idea.
Well, of course, you also have that Mexican guy, something Peña, was it that he tried to set off a dirty bomb?
Yep.
In Chicago. Well, not that I'm also reading that there wasn't really any evidence, now that come to think about it, to convict them. But that's besides the fact. But what do you think, how viable is it to start deporting all the millions of the illegals that are in here? If we are able to
it would be it'd be a lifetime job. It would be hard, especially, you know, you got places like L.A. My gosh, do you know that L.A. would burn at night? You know what I'm saying? It'd be a mess.
Well, without the illegals, or?
Well, if they tried to start rounding them up,
mm-hmm.
it'd be wild. I mean, you'd have urban warfare all over again.
It'd be a lot easier if we didn't have our boys in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, there again, now you're getting to the point of using the military against the U.S. citizens, you know.
That's true. But I mean, it'll be legal if the governor asked for help.
Well, the governors don't. I mean, I read a report to where the deficit or the in California, you know, they're so broke that the amount of money that they are in debt on is they figured is almost identical to the money that the illegal aliens are making and sending back to Mexico.
Oy.
Okay. Well. Okay.
And they just lowered my Western Union and MoneyGram just lowered their prices for that. So.
it's a mess.
Yeah. I mean, what would be the proper way to deport people then? I mean, see, I always had this fantasy, which is probably like a half a joke. It's just. Get a whole bunch of vans, be like, hey, free work, and it locks from the outside and just drive them to Mexico, and just like, hey, here you go, see you now.
Well, I look at it this way, you know, our government has agendas, and they know they just can't get their agenda through unless they create a problem.
Yeah, and problem, they, reaction, solution.
Exactly, and, you know, they create a problem. And what they do is they let the citizens of this country raise up and scream and holler and we got to do something about, you know, and on and on and on and on, and then finally the government says, all right, we got a solution, here it is, already knowing that they had this, they already had that sitting on the back burner, you know, and then they just bring it. But that's why when Clinton was in office, he couldn't get the anti-terrorism bill passed.
Hmm.
But shortly thereafter, we had Oklahoma City bombing, and the anti-terrorism bill came up before Congress again, and it went right through, no problem, and he signed it. You know, tell me if they didn't create a problem.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no doubt. I mean, especially with, what's his name? I keep forgetting his name.
Timothy McVeigh.
His doctor was the same doctor, his military doctor.
Yeah.
And Terry Nichols, he was like running his mouth, and they had to kill him too.
It's all greed and power.
Mm.
Those who have and those who don't.
Are you sure it's just as simple as money? I mean, couldn't they just do something with the markets and steal the money anyways?
They're doing it now.
Well, yeah, there's that, but that's what I'm saying. But do they really need to be running this much game, though, to do that if it was just about money?
Well, yeah.
I wish it was just as simple as it being about money, because then all you got to do is take your money out of the market. Well, I mean, that's what I say. Take your money out, save your money. If you got to put it in a bank, put it in a credit union.
Well, there again, yeah. they know that you're going to do that. That's why they're trying to devalue the value of the dollar. They're trying to crash it into the ground. So that money you got will be nothing more than a piece of paper, you know. And there again, I can go into another aspect of them wanting to go into the Amero, you know. So in order for us to pick up the same type of currency as the euro, the thing they have to do is they have to devalue the dollar bill to the point where it's worthless.
Right.
And then bring forth the Amero, and then you have an exchange rate on the money you have, and you're only probably going to get 40-50 cents on the dollar, if that, for exchange rate.
And then we're not going to we're never going to have secure borders between Mexico and us and Canada and us.
Exactly.
So
they're running the interstate trucking line from Mexico through Texas all the way straight through the middle of the United States all the way to Canada, one shot.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I have a friend who's in the trucking business, and a lot of these illegal Mexicans are getting caught. Because they don't have the permits to be doing what they're doing when they're trucking.
Right.
And they keep getting caught. So it's just ridiculous. I mean, is there a simple solution to this, or is it just gonna be a long term solution, a long term just working on it to finally just keep getting it better little by little as time goes on?
You also have to look at what happened to the Roman Empire too. You know, that's exactly how they collapsed. And we're basically, I've said this for many years. I've told people this a lot, that the United States is a modern day Roman Empire. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We fight everybody's battles. You know, everybody looks to the U.S. like everybody used to. All roads lead to Rome. You know, and we're basically coming apart internally, just like Rome did. Rome fell from within.
Right.
And we're following the same suit, the same pattern. And you know, if we don't do something, we're going to lose everything.
Well, I mean, from what I see, the simple thing we could do is just start minding our goddamn business and let the world burn.
That's the way I look at it, you know. the strong will survive.
It was like, okay, well, you're going, oh, well, help us, we need this. Oh, did you just say fuck America like a few years back? Yeah. Oh, but you want us to help you now.
Yeah, look at Somalia. Look at all that went on over there, and you know,
Black Hawk Down. We try to help them. We try to feed them. In fact, growing up, that was like that's one of like the biggest jokes ever. Like, oh, your mama's from Somalia. I mean, we you know, that's growing up. I mean,
yeah, I've heard those too.
It's like, but I mean, look, we try to help them out with food and collecting money and all these fucking charities, and what happens? We send some soldiers there to do something, and yeah, Black Hawk Down, and what, 18 soldiers died?
Yep.
It's like, come on.
Well, you know, it's...
And then we just left with our tail between our legs. Oh, yeah, great.
There again, yeah. look who was president.
Oh, well, senior,
Clinton.
Right?
Yeah, well, Clinton. Yeah, Clinton was in.
Clinton.
So, it's a vicious cycle, you know.
When is the solution? I mean, what? Do we need to have a bloody revolution, or?
If something doesn't change, they're going to get their... I don't know how much more that the American citizen is going to take. I know that some of them will lay down and roll over like a dog and pee on themselves. You know, they're going to buckle under, and they're going to do whatever the government tells them. But the majority of the people in this country are really grumbling under their breath, and they're getting a gutful of it, you know. And I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it could come to another bloody revolution, you know. I mean, that's exactly what our forefathers had to do, you know, because the dadgum king was breathing down their neck.
I mean, and the other thing I have to worry about, if this does come to a bloody revolution, who's to think that the UN for security forces or the European Union won't send any soldiers in to protect their interests?
Okay, well, that right there is very, very true. If you ever get a chance to read a booklet, it's called Operation Vampire Killer. That's exactly...
Yes, I've actually heard that, yes.
Yes, I've got it and I've read it. It's true. But there again, that's where me as a military man, I took an oath for life. That's not just when I was in the service and wore that uniform. That oath is for life, and I'm to protect and defend the Constitution from both foreign and domestic people. Bringing in the United Nations troops on this soil is an act of war. Because they are a foreign troop, and the Constitution specifically speaks about that, you know. That's why our forefathers wrote it that way. It would be the same as the Brits coming over here when we colonized this country, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I said this on the show once, and I mean it. I really do mean it. The moment I see blue helmets marching down my block... Yeah, it might mean my certain death, but I'd rather fucking die on my feet than live on my knees.
No, I'm not.
I'm not gonna allow any blue helmets while I draw breath to rape any of my family, because you know that's what they do.
Of course they do.
They've been caught with child pornography, raping women, and doing all this in Africa. What makes you think they won't do it here? Thinking that shit is funny, like oh, you're Americans, ha ha.
Yep.
You know. Yeah, I mean, if I could play this quick thing, this is from a video game. I don't know if you heard it. It's called Shattered Union.
Yeah, I think I have.
It's kind of scary because this is like from what the scenario that I just told you. This is exactly what's in the video game, and if what you're telling me what's in Operation Vampire Killer is true, I mean, this is kind of something to listen to. So here, let me play this.
Following a disputed election and a tie vote, the U.S. Congress installs the most unpopular president in U.S. history as David Jefferson Adams becomes the 44th president of the United States. Shortly after the election, increased unrest, rioting, and a growing number of militias have given rise to ever-increasing domestic terrorism. In response, the president invokes the Homeland Security Act and declares martial law on the West Coast and other areas of the country. Though highly contested, a Supreme Court ruling sidesteps the electoral process, disqualifying popular presidential candidates from several states. Public outrage explodes when a sham election leads to incumbent David Adams accepting a second term in office. During the 57th Inauguration Day ceremonies, Washington, D.C. is struck by a low-yield nuclear weapon, killing David Adams and most of the U.S. Congress. The destruction of Washington, D.C. effectively breaks the chain of succession, sending the nation into chaos. In an emergency vote, the European Union deploys peacekeepers in the greater DC area to secure international interests. With separatist sentiment rising, California's governor declares home rule and secedes from the Union. Texas follows quickly and declares sovereignty, taking neighboring states with them and forming the Republic of Texas. Now, the once United States of America lie in ruin. The time for words has passed, and a second American Civil War now erupts as seven factions wage war across the land. They battle one another to reclaim a nation, to restore peace, to rebuild this shattered union.
I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, it's very, very possible. Create the problem. Mm. Here we go, you know, create the problem.
Yeah, I mean, man, this video game was released back in 2005.
Mm. Imagine that.
So, yeah.
All I can say is just, you know, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Yeah, well, yeah, prepare for war, hope for peace, prepare for war, though. Yeah.
Yep.
That old saying, yes. It... Goodness, do we even have a chance, though? I mean, I would like to think that we have a chance that if the American people just stop acting like fucking pussy-ass liberals.
Well, it all starts from the cradle, you know. In our public school systems, so it's brainwashing them all the way up through college, and you know, they're changing society, you know.
Yeah, they don't even teach civics in high school anymore. I mean, I remember when I went to high school, I was taught the Constitution. I was taught the way the government works.
Exactly.
I talked to my cousin who's just about to graduate. He doesn't even know what the fucking preamble of the Constitution is.
Well,
like, they didn't teach us that. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. But they'll teach him that 10% of his class will turn out to be homosexual, and that's okay. You know, it's okay to be that way, and you know, and if anybody disagrees with it, well, then you're booted out. You know, we're not going to listen to that. If anybody makes a statement that they want you to believe what they want you to believe, but you're not supposed to be able to think and reason for yourself. You know, you're supposed to follow what they tell you to do.
Exactly. I mean, they want you to be tolerant of certain things.
But yet they don't want to be tolerant of your points of view.
No, of course not. I mean, if you're conservative, I mean, this is not saying I don't have gay friends myself. That's fine. But I tell them, like, look, I don't agree with the way their lifestyle. Fine. But am I going to go around and start beating them up? No.
No.
But, you know, no. that's your business. Another thing I don't agree with is the pride parades.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, why, okay, you're proud that you like to have sex with the same sex, but why do you have to walk around naked and act a fool?
Well, that's because they've been allowed to.
Yeah. I mean,
but you know, you look at it, you know. Mm-hmm. You can look at how the male race has been, in my point of view, has been castrated.
Yeah.
You know,
we've been castrated
and dumbed mm-hmm. down. You know, we're not allowed to be a man. It's wrong to be a heterosexual, or it's wrong to be manly, you know?
Exactly. And I mean,
if I had a feminine side, if it was meant for me to be a feminine, I would be a woman. I'm not. I'm born a male. I mean,
exactly.
Do I have sensitivity? Yes. Do I have emotions and feelings? Yes. But is it wrong for me to be a male? You know? Is it wrong for me to act like a man, walk like a man, talk like a man, be a man? You know?
It's like they just view it as stupid behavior, like, oh, you're not refined. And I always say, look, men don't have a feminine side. Yes, I get emotional. Yes, I do. I cry at weddings. You know, if it's a, you know, emotions happen.
Exactly.
You know, we're born with emotions. Yes. Funerals. Yeah. You know, if I loved a person, yeah, I would bawl my eyes out like crazy. Yeah. Does it mean I'm a bitch made? No, of course not.
Yep.
You know.
Man, we could go on all night long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's point after point.
It's just, the bottom line is everything is out of kilter. You know, the what was wrong is now is right, and what is right is now is wrong, you know?
Yeah, it's in the Bible, yes.
Yeah, it's just, everything is upside down.
Prophesied in the Bible, what's wrong, what is wrong will be considered right, what is right will be considered wrong. I mean,
yep.
it's
like
you can't.
That man will do what is right in his own sight. You know, you'll do what you think is right. I'll do. You know, everybody, instead of following a set of standards. No, well, that's not right. We got to do it this way. You know that, this is what happens when good people choose to do nothing.
Yeah, I mean it's. Yeah, but what can you do really except live your own life the right way, you know?
Yep, and hope we make it through before it gets to that point.
I mean, it's like, am I ashamed with the way I live my life? Hey, maybe I could be living a little bit more of a Christian lifestyle. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't rape. I don't steal. I don't, you know, sleep with other men. You know.
Right.
You know, I'm basically living my a good life, but you can always do better.
Well, I live by a threefold principle straight from the Bible, and it says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. If you do all three of those things, everything else in your life will fall into place. If you're just in everything that you do, your business dealings with other people. You're not trying to rook and scam and steal from other people in your business and your affairs. If you're just about everything you do, if you love mercy, if you feel sorry for those who are really in need, if you feed those who need to be fed and clothe those that need to be clothed, you know, you care about those who really do need the help, and if you walk humble, you know, those three things. The rest of your life will fall into place because you won't walk in pride and arrogance and power and greed, you know. But that's just my point of view.
Right, right, and that's a good attitude to have. I mean, that is a good, you know.
I have fed the hungry. I have seen hungry people on the street that were truly hungry. They come to me and didn't ask me for money, but asked me, "Could you please buy me some food? I'm starving." Sure, no problem, let's go, what do you want? I'll feed them. Now, if they ask me for money because they need gas or whatever, I'll say, well, let's go get some gas, you know. I'll put the gas in your car. I'm not going to give you the money, you know, but...
Exactly.
And I've fed people, you know, and I try to help those that are truly in need.
Mm.
Not the guy that's smoking crack that's looking for a buck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's over here in New York City. That's what unfortunately a lot of people come up asking for money, are, you know, their lips are all crusty, and you could tell that their dinner was came from a needle,
right?
Which, you know, and it gets kind of hard. I mean, what do? Do you buy them food and or do you just allow them to die? You know,
right.
If they are
hungry, I will feed them. If they need food, substance to put into their body, food and drink, I will do that. I will buy it for them and feed them and clothe them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I won't support their habit. If a drunk man comes to me, which about 4 or 5 months ago he did out of nowhere, me and my girlfriend were going to have lunch, and he approached me and asked me if I could afford to feed him because he was starving. He said, "I have not eaten in 3 days. I'm hungry." I fed him. He didn't ask for money. He wanted some food because he was starving to death. He looked terrible. And I fed him. See, I don't have a problem with that. But that's the way I try to walk, you know, try to be just. In everything that I do, I try to be just and honest. I try to be merciful, and I try to walk humble.
And of course, you'd be considered weak for doing that.
Exactly. People tell me, "Well, why didn't you cuss him out? Why didn't you just bust him?" Well, no, you know, I don't live by that standard.
Yeah, these are the same people that say that voted for Barack Obama because they think that they're progressive. Yet, if a black person moved in next door, they would feel very uncomfortable.
Exactly.
These are the same people that come up to me saying, "Hey, where can I score some dope?" Like, no, trust me. In my neighborhood, I live in Brooklyn. Midwest white people moved in. They came to learn art school students that are very liberal, and they think they're so enlightened because of what they learned by some dude in
Dartmouth College.
Yeah.
Or
School of Visual Arts, NYU students, and they'll come up to me and like, "Hey, where can I get some manteca?" And in Spanish, manteca means lard. And I say, go to the store right there. They sell it. It's called Crisco. They're like, "No, you know what I'm talking about." Like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about. Dude, where can I score some pot?" I'm like, "Wow, you assume that I sell pot, or I know where to score some pot? Hold on, let me get my donkey. I'll sell it to you right here." I'm like, just consider me Juan Valdez. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's like every day, "Yo, dude, where I could score some pot?" I'm like, "No, I don't know where you could score some pot."
Is that racial profiling?
Yep, probably. It is. I mean, you know. And I'm like, I refer them to the officers right there. "I don't know, but I'm pretty sure they know. They probably been watching them, so ask him."
It's a vicious cycle. Where does it all, you know, there again, like you said, what do we do? Where do we start, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
you stomp out one fire here, and you look over, and here's another fire.
Exactly.
So you're constantly stomping out fires. It's out of control. Everybody is just, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you look at the media, I mean, going back to it's wrong to be a man, why is it that in sitcoms, the husband is scared of the wife?
Well, not only that, he's the dumb one in the family.
Yeah, he's the dumb one.
And the kids and the wife are the ones who are smart, and the husband's always the dumb idiot. You know, he's always being tricked by his kids and his wife, and you know, he's made to be the fool. You know,
I mean, if that's how married life is, if that's how being a family man is, I really don't want to have kids or get married. There's really, I mean, and especially the way the laws are, where let's say a woman cheats on you, she still gets half your crap. I mean, it really doesn't pay to get married anymore.
Well, you know, it used to be that way. You know, it used to be, well, if you can prove infidelity, you know, it was a whole different ball game. But that's basically gone out the window these days, you know. So what? Mm-hmm. She had 10, 15 affairs on you. So what? Guess what? She gets half. Next case. You know, it's just that's the way it is now. You know, a man doesn't have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of when it comes to that, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, and I actually did a show on paternity fraud, how it's legal for a woman to lie and say, "Oh, you're the father of the baby," and put you on the hook for 18 years to pay child support. And then when it comes to find out that you're not the father, you're not the biological father, you still have to pay because your name is on the birth certificate.
Yep.
It's legalized fraud. I mean, I've done it. It really does seem there is a war. There's a war on masculinity. There's a war on men. A war on the family, really.
That's what it is. It's actually a war on the family. It's to build a wall between the relationship and the foundation of a husband and a wife. It's to separate that and you know,
I mean, really, I was raised in a broken home. You know, my mom remarried, of course, while I was still young. I've always had the male influence from my father and my stepfather.
Yes.
So I mean, which is probably why I'm not, you know, blowing dudes in a corner somewhere with a crack pipe in my mouth or something. I don't know. It's but it really just seems like they're like, again, you can't be a, oh well, the mo, the point I was just remember the point I was trying to make is like when you see women, single families, like women in their 20s, it seems like they don't know how to raise their kids, because if there's no male influence there, the kid acts like an animal.
I saw that today, as a matter of fact. I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. I see it absolutely all the time, you know. I even, yesterday, me and my girl were in a restaurant, mm-hmm. and there was a husband and a wife and the kids, had a son and a daughter, probably 10, around the age of 10, mm-hmm. and the son screamed bloody murder in the restaurant, and the father was dragging him out by his hand. The kid was screaming, dragging his feet, cussing, screaming, carrying on. Everybody's looking at this is a grown man, and he didn't say the first word to this. He just drug him right on outside and let the kid just act up a fool, you know. And I leaned over to my girlfriend and I said to her, give me 5 minutes with him. Just give me 5 minutes and I will put an end to that, you know.
Actually, that's too long. I mean, especially with my mom, my mother and father. Oh, my goodness.
My mom and dad would have killed me.
30 seconds.
They'd have killed me.
That long. Yeah.
But then again, I also, you know, this would have been the point. If I would have walked up to that father and said something to him about it, he'd have been ready to fight me.
Exactly.
See,
who are you to tell me how to raise
exactly.
my kid?
Exactly.
I mean, which is part of the reason why I don't date women with children, because for some reason I end up meeting the kid on the first date, and that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And then they're acting a fool, and they're cussing and carrying on, and maybe it's a paternal instinct in me, but I just want to wring their necks.
Oh. Well, I have to admit, I have a good girlfriend. She's a single mother. She has done an outstanding job of raising her daughter. She's 11 years old. Mm-hmm. The kid is a great kid. She's an accelerated honor student. And she's a well-behaved kid. Doesn't mean that she doesn't test the waters.
Yeah, well, that's natural.
But she does not act a fool in public, and she does behave quite well.
Yes, ma'am.
And
I take
my hat off to my girlfriend. She has done a fantastic job.
Oh, very good. I mean, and that's rare. That's rare.
It is very rare.
It's very rare. I mean, last week I was out on a date, and of course she didn't tell me that she was going to bring her 2-year-old daughter. and me, you know, I love kids, so fine. So going on Christmas shopping with her, while the mother was trying on clothes, which that sucked for a first date, really.
Well, that lets you know right there, not to marry her.
Oh yeah, no. That let me know not to take her out on a second date and never call her again.
Wow. But go clothes shopping on your first date.
Yeah. So not only did I drop $80 and she was acting cold on me for dinner, after dinner, you know, she's like kept pulling away from me. I'm like, okay. But of course I end up having to rescue the daughter from almost getting hit by a car on 42nd Street. You know, because the 2-year-old daughter wanted out of the stroller and kept running around because apparently the mother doesn't give her kid a proper sleep schedule. So the kid sleeps all day and is awake all night and has all this energy because she's 2 years old and you know, a retarded little monkey.
That's
so
terrible.
So here I am with a bad knee trying to chase down the 2-year-old girl because, of course, the mom don't give a damn. She's like, ha la 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 la. What I'm gonna buy for myself now? Ha la la. I'm like, are you watching your daughter? And apparently, so the mother gave. The mother just lets the daughter just wear her out. She's like, oh, don't do that, honey. Don't do that, honey. Don't do that. Okay, fine, whatever.
It's time to go home. Like,
no, not even. It's like, whatever. Just do what you want. I'm like, what? And I had to hold the daughter by her hood, or else she would have ran out into the street again. And of course, the daughter doesn't know any better. She sees me as he's restraining me for no reason. So she's trying to get away from me. And I'm like, put her in the stroller. She's like, no, because she fights me. I'm like, are you the mother? Is this your child? If this is not your child, let me know.
So these are our future leaders.
Oh, God.
That's
forbid.
Why Congress is such a mess.
Yeah, no. If that's the case, wasn't there a law back in the Old Testament that if your child misbehaved... Yeah, pretty much.
You stoned them. Took them outside the city and... stoned him.
Like, alright, enough's enough. Cut the crap. Bam!
Done with that, kid. I got 50 wives, so I don't need this one.
Nah.
Oh, my. That's too funny.
Yeah, drag
him. How did we get from where we were at to this? I have no idea.
Society's totally effed up.
It is turned inside out. It's whacked out.
Yeah, it starts with the family.
Of course it does. I was
raised a certain way. You know, there's certain ways, you know, like I might curse, you know, around, you know, in public, you know, while talking to my friends. But trust me, I don't talk like this in front of my father, my mother, or my stepfather.
Oh, no way.
No.
Well, we were brought
even
up.
Even at my age, my mom will lay the smack down on me. So, what are you doing?
What was that came out of your mouth?
Nothing, Mom. No, ma'am. No, nothing, ma'am. No.
Yeah, I just I have a hard time these days going out and enjoying dinner with friends or you know with family, and it's atrocious. And my girlfriend's mother just retired from teaching elementary school, and she had this one boy in her class that no matter what was going on in class, my girlfriend's mother would have to, in the middle of the class, give this kid his snack, or he would blow a head gasket in class.
What?
And she was required to keep snacks in that class for that child. Whenever that kid asked for his snack, she was to give him a snack.
What?
This kid was a monster. This is what the school and the doctor, the whatever you call that at the school, the psycho doctor, the psychologists, or whatever they got in these schools and stuff today, this is what the mother said that the doctor said that had to be done to calm her child. That's why she retired this year, or this past year. She got her retirement, and she said, that's it, I'm done. She's done it long enough.
Oy.
And she's from the old school. She said, I would just love to drag him in the broom closet and wear him out.
Yeah, goodness.
Right in the middle of her teaching. I want my snack now.
Excuse me.
I'm serious. I'm not lying to you. Our teachers had paddles in the drawer. I've been paddled right in front of the class, at the teacher's desk. Didn't send us to the office, and then sent a note home to our mom and dads that we had to get signed, saying that this happened. And then we got it again when we got to the house.
Yeah. Well,
if the note disappeared, you got it twice as bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Goodness. I mean, I never, it was like, I guess my generation is when they stopped hitting kids, but they did still send a note home, but I got it from both my mom and my father.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, my, you know, I first got it from Dad, and when Mom got home, yep.
Well,
and there was, and there was like, but I already got hit. Well,
you're getting hit again.
Getting hit again. I'm like, what? Don't you think I learned my lesson after the first bam? All right, don't talk about that.
Make sure that you learned.
Don't give it a chance for me to learn a lesson, please. Oh, man.
Well, what a broad perspective tonight.
Yes. Yes. Oh, goodness. American society is just... Maybe we do need terrorists to wake us up. maybe we do. I mean, maybe we do because we're really... You know,
lazy and complacent.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, well... And when I really started, like, getting into politics, I it was kind of funny when I realized, wait a minute, I'm a conservative? You mean, be like, would you vote on gay marriage? No, I wouldn't, because it's none of my business on what somebody does in their bedroom. Why do I have to vote on what they do privately?
Well, if they would simply go by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, they wouldn't have to have special laws passed for special lifestyles and special this and special that, because we're supposedly all being to be created to be judged and everything on an equal basis already.
Mm-hmm.
So why does this group have to have a special law to protect them, and this person here has to have a special law to protect them, and you know, on and on and on. If you just simply go by what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights say, then you wouldn't have to have all these amendments and add-ons and take-outs and rewrites and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into the court systems, but I don't even want to do that.
Yeah, no, we only got like 20 minutes left to the show. Well, quick question. Have you ever heard of a woman by the name of Shirley Phelps Roper?
No, I haven't.
She is she's part of the West Perro Baptist Church. She goes around with her family to protest the funerals of dead soldiers. And
I think I have heard about that.
Yeah, with signs that say God hates fags, God hates America because of fags and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I have heard about that.
I actually had her on the show. That woman is insane. I mean, yeah, fine, you know, again, I don't agree with the gay culture, but I'm not going to go around protesting funerals.
Right.
And hurting their families. And she's like, oh, well, it's a God smack, and we do it to inform people that they're being punished by God. I'm like, how is that loving?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to love them. We don't love them. I'm like, wow. That goes against everything I was taught.
You might not... I mean, you're supposed to love the person, but not their sin.
Yeah.
If you believe in that, you know. Yeah, but no, that's totally whacked out.
Yeah, I mean, and especially going around at soldiers' funerals of soldiers who are probably not gay and they died fighting for this country, or you know, just how do you disrespect the dead like that? It's beyond me. I'm like, wow,
their own piety,
and I'm like, so you're saying, so I asked her. So, are you trying to teach people to turn away from bad and perhaps gain a relationship with God? They're like, no. I'm like, what? No, you're not trying. So, you're just going around harassing people, basically, is what she's doing.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to help no one. You're just going around. Actually, another thing she said was, if like, let's say... you were married and your wife cheats on you, it's the husband's fault for not being God-fearing, and that's God punishing him.
Mm.
And he can't divorce her because then that's a sin.
Well, I would like to talk to her myself.
Yeah.
Because, well, that would be, I would love to talk to her.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, that she calls that a God smack.
Mm.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, we had her on the show. She's just really insane. Really,
I think she is.
Yeah, so. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I would like to thank you for being on.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be on with you.
No, I mean, you have a permanent invitation to come. We're on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, 5 p.m. And we cover a lot of issues.
Yeah, so. Well, in February, I'll be starting my own talk show.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, so it'll be hopefully up and running in February. I was going to do it in January, but I figured I'd wait till the holidays and get it all out of the way.
Right. So, alrighty. So, definitely come on and tell us when you're going to be doing it, so that way we could help promote you.
Oh, we'll definitely come back. Hey, by the way, I'm doing a sound check now. How do I sound?
Fabulous.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that I was clear and no echo and no background noise.
No, you're fine.
Mm. Well, maybe one day you'll make it down to Florida.
Oh, well, I got family there in Port St. Lucie, so.
Really, over the East Coast. I'm over near the West Coast. I'm right outside, actually, near northwest of Gainesville, if you know where that's at. I'm like the Marines over here. I'm a Seminole living in the middle of the Gainesville Gators.
Ah.
I'm right in the enemy's camp.
And that sounds like fun. That's like me going into Boston with a Yankees cap on.
Yeah.
It's like, hey. Well, at this time, me going into Philly and wearing a Yankees cap. Like, hey, so, how them Phillies doing?
Yeah.
So,
and then get somebody for beating you up because you were Puerto Rican or something on the news. Who knows?
Oh, trust me, I will play that card real fast. Hey, whatever gives me an advantage, I'm playing that card fast.
I heard something. He said something about something Puerto Rican. I didn't catch that.
He called me a spick. That's what he did. That's why he called me that. Why he was hitting me. And I think he took my wallet. He stole $40. Oh, there they are. That's it right there. Thanks.
He'd use the old ace up the sleeve.
Exactly. You know, hey. Hey, if they're going to give me an advantage, I'll be an idiot not to exploit it.
I'm like, they would.
Yeah, they would. They would. In fact, I almost got into a fist fight with a homosexual because, you know, I was passing by the gay high school, and dude grabs my butt, and I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And we're about to fight. He's like, oh, I'm gay. No, well, I'm colored, so who's going to win? Who's going to win in this hate crime Olympics here? Come on.
Bravo. That was a good one.
We'll end it
on that one, okay?
The hate crime Olympics. There you go.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So, anyways, thank you, G-Man. Definitely stay tuned for his show in February coming up, and we're gonna take a quick break. Well, not quick break, but we got all these commercials lined up. We're like really behind schedule. So this is the Crotch Shot Radio Show, kicking the issues in the balls.
This segment of the Crotch Shot Radio Show was sponsored by No Sweat, 100% union-made apparel. Just check them out. Go to thecrotchshotradioshow.com and click the top banner. That is No Sweat Apparel. When you go there, tell them the Crotch Shot Radio Show sent you.
Would you consider that torture?
Absolutely torture.
You do.
Absolutely. I mean, that's drowning.
Independent voters are now the biggest proportion of our electorate.
This is going to be a public relations, trust your government and your health officials, public campaign.
Smashing through the left-right paradigm, it's the Crotch Shot Radio Show, where we kick the issues in the balls. Listen live at TalkShoe and check out our blog at www.crotchshotradio.com.
This holiday season, instead of thinking of which fucking iPod to buy and rushing to stores and crushing Walmart employees, here's something to think about. Read from the Citizen's Rulebook, a summary of the Communist Manifesto. Communist Manifesto represents a misguided philosophy which teaches the citizens to give up their rights for the sake of the common good. But it always ends in a police state. This is called preventative justice. Control is the key concept.
These are 10 points to look out.
Abolition of private property. Heavy progressive income tax. Abolition of all rights of inheritance. Confiscation of property of all immigrants and rebels. A central bank. Government control of communications and transportation. Government ownership of factories and agriculture. Government control of labor. Corporate farms. Regional planning. Government control of education. Can anyone see this happening now? In the United States. In the Constitutional Republic of the United States. Something to think about. Happy holidays from the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
When you visit the Crotch Shot Radio Show website, please make it a habit to click on two or three of the small Google ads. Google pays Crotch Shot Radio a few cents per click-through. We know that Google is a mainstream outlet, but we are using their tools in order to spread the truth. Please visit CrotchShotRadio.com every day.
Are you tired of all the bullshit in the world? The time for political correctness is over. Listen to the Crotch Shot Radio Show, hosted by Louis B. with Benny Carnero and Enemy Combatant, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern on CrotchShotRadio.com.
Delivery.com, the website that provides fast and easy online ordering from restaurants and caterers in your neighborhood. Some of the benefits of Delivery.com: save money with exclusive restaurant specials, no more busy signals, waiting on hold, or rummaging through piles of menus. Discover new restaurants and merchants in your neighborhood. Earn points on every order which you can redeem for prizes. Sign up today. Place an order with Delivery.com today and get 1,000 free delivery points. And exclusively for Crotch Shot Radio Show listeners, enter promo code TCSR69 for an additional 2,000 bonus points. Only from Delivery.com.
Truth Brigade Radio, live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m., only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter. Believe it or not, you could get a professional custom logo designed for under $50. Logo Nerds provides small businesses affordable logos custom made to your specifications. And satisfaction is always guaranteed. The Logo Nerds banner on CrutchShotRadio.com and get a logo done for $27.
1, 2, ready, go.
Obama, 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 Obama,
Obama. Cause I got a crush on Obama.
He's on the same day.
Yes, we can.
This is Glenn Z. Are you sick and tired of all the mindless Obama worship in the mainstream media? If so, please consider visiting my website, www.wearechangenewjersey.org.
If you really want to save this country, being a conservative is the way to go. I mean, you don't have to hate people's lifestyles. You don't have to hate anybody's lifestyle to be a good conservative. Just mind your fucking business and really just follow and really just realize that you're under attack for being normal. It's bad to be normal. So constantly just think about it. Really think of what a common, being a conservative is pretty much the common sense way to go. Really. And I'm surprised as hell that I'm a conservative. It really does surprise me. So what's going on? We got if you guys get a chance, those listening, check out crotchshotradio.com. And please click on the ads, take a look at the ads. We got a new logo from Logo Nerds that we only paid $27 for. Yes, just $27, and we got that kick-ass new logo. So definitely hit them up. Also, My True Essence, that's Christy Truth Brigade's thing she got going there. She sent me some nice smoking blends. It was fantastic. It's delicious. Also, she some of the oils, those healing oils, really help out. You'll hear and read some of my testimonies with that one. And also, buy American. If you're gonna buy something, buy American made stuff. Go to No Sweat. Just click on the link there. And but let's see what's going on in the blog. We got Glenn Z had the final Street Action of the Month, which I was not able to make it to. I regret it. Looks like they had a very good action. They have some videos up there. Glenn Z premieres 9/11/2001, A Space Odyssey. With the video there, Jersey City Woman wakes up to 9/11 truth. And that's a fantastic. We the People Review 2009. We Are Change New Jersey helps the homeless. We Are Change, not Obama. And chemtrails are our friends. And also, funny video, Max Kaiser, he's a financial analyst, and he just goes ape shit. He just goes nuts about what's going on in the financial industry. He just starts he gets really upset. And of course, there's another video, Media Lies Are Falling Apart. And we have a picture Free Nobel Peace Prize with oil change. So that's what's going on the blog right now. Always visit crotchshotradio.com every day. Bookmark us. Subscribe to our feed via Feedburner. Subscribe to the podcast from iTunes. Just search the Crotch Shot Radio Show. iTunes, Zune, Zencast. Everywhere, actually. You could download the show for free. That's what we do. We do things for free. We also have a store. That's the only way we could really support the show. Just get a store where we have like a whole bunch of plans we want to push forward, like printing up some flyers, and also getting a phone number, a direct line for the show, so that way people could call in. We do not ask for donations at all. We just ask that you either click on the Google ads or just on the ads on the side, just click them, sign up. 2001 Obama's Coup Fails is a free video game. We're not getting paid by them, so I mean, that still hit them up. They're fantastic. It's a fantastic game. And also My True Essence, we're not getting paid from them, but definitely hit her up. She has some nice stuff. Definitely just explore the website. The website is fucking fantastic. So with that being said, I'm going to be closing out the show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and as always, fuck the New World Order. And if you don't believe me, or you just want to attack or you just can't see it, then fuck you too.
Rise of the Phlebot, portrait of the new American insurgent. Battle and shake the foundations of the world order. Assembly line, consent, resist, refuse, inform, create, direct, love, once to the trenches, suit up.